Welcome back to the Free Kit Martin podcast. It is Crystal McKenzie, lifelong radio personality based out of Indianapolis, Indiana. And with me, my co-host and dearest friend in life, it would be Stacey Stone. You are the ex-wife of Kit Martin, and I mean the one and only ex-wife, the one that matters. Sorry.
That's okay.
You are the only one that matters, and I'm finding that in the book, Stacey. It turns out that you are a very big reason that Joan was all kinds of ticked off.
I seem to understand that now from what I hear about the book. I guess I never thought I was that important. But apparently she did. So maybe that explains why she was so cruel to our children and to Chris, and it didn't bother me as far as my personal cruelty that she inflicted so much, because I could handle it. But, to know the things that the kids and he went through really are just
disturbing.
Amazing.
Absolutely, yes. Disturbing. And you know what? What I've learned too is Kit's such a good guy, and he's always out to protect and serve, and especially the protect part of that, So, he was in a battle with his own family for many, many years over Joan. All of them had kind of gotten her number, and including mm-hmm. you, and you first, I would think. I want to start with I just want you to know that I Will Ruin You, The Twisted Truth Behind the Kit Martin Murder Trial is out. What we're going to talk about today is wrongful convictions in general, all right? But I do want to let you know that this is out there. It costs $13.99 for your paperback. It's $21.99 for the hardback. You can do unlimited Kindle if you have it for nothing, or you can buy it on Kindle now for $9.99. They had a $2.99 special running where I did it, and then I got it on the 26th on the Kindle app, on the Amazon Kindle app. And that's the way I'm reading it until my copy gets in. And I know, have you received yours yet, Stacey? Your signed hardback copy from Emilio Corsetti?
I have not, and I just received an email, and he's waiting to receive them from the publisher, and then he will send them back. But he did send a message and said that the book is doing very well on Amazon, which is good news.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward. I think that the book is a game changer. I think it makes the storyline much easier to understand. As we both have talked about before, it was so chaotic in the trial, and it was just back and forth on so many subjects. I think it was really difficult for even someone who knew the story to keep up. I can't imagine how difficult it was for the jurors. And I think although the prosecution's story, tale, lies, did not make sense, I think it was the only storyline they had to go with.
And absolutely.
I think that may be why they came back with a guilty verdict.
Yeah, they had a storyline, didn't they? And it didn't seem like the defense did, because all we were trying to do over there on the defense side was trying to keep up. You didn't even know what was going to come next. Like her closing, Barbara Whaley's opening statements, and then closing arguments were completely different. It's like two different cases, because she could not argue complicity, because one of our lawyers successfully argued that not in one time during the entire trial was complicity brought up, that somebody else was involved, from the prosecution.
What was amazing to me in that, Crystal, and mm-hmm. We're not lawyers, and I don't know the answer to this, but as I've been reading and researching, I didn't know that in the middle of the trial, you could change the charges, but apparently she was able to do that mm-hmm. because she went from complicity to murder to just murder. And I didn't know you could do that in the middle of a trial, but apparently you can do a lot of things in Kentucky that we weren't aware of.
A lot of dirty poker went down in this trial. A lot of people noticed it. That's why someone like Dateline would come along and do the story, I Will Ruin You, The Twisted Truth Behind the Kit Martin Murder Trial. Here's what it says on Wild Blue Press and Amazon. Actually, this is the Amazon website. So here is, it said, did the state of Kentucky convict an innocent man moments before boarding a passenger flight on 11 May 2019 as the first officer, pilot Christian Kit Martin, a former military ranger, was arrested by a swarm of heavily armed officers for the murders of three of his neighbors. The arrest captured global attention as Martin's mugshot, clad in a pilot's uniform, spread across the internet, sparkling a media firestorm with headlines such as "Monster in the Cockpit." A combat helicopter pilot, Kit Martin, has seen his life unravel after seeking a divorce. His wife's threatening words, "If you leave me, I will ruin your life," overheard by his daughter, seem to have become a grim reality, escalating to a court martial and a high-stakes murder trial at which he was convicted. "I Will Ruin You," the twisted truth behind the Kit Martin murder trial, delves into the complex circumstances behind Martin's story. It looks beyond the sensational headlines and legal turmoil into the heart of this controversial case. Author Emilio Corsetti III presents the facts of the crime that led to the arrest and the extraordinary lengths used to secure a conviction in this unforgettable true crime page-turner. That is what they're saying about "I Will Ruin You," as far as what Amazon wrote about it, and to put it up on their website and begin selling it. Now, I'm telling you, this is a game changer because it simplifies the story. It was very, very convoluted, and I think on purpose, it was convoluted what the prosecution laid out. It was almost impossible for the defense to keep up. I think they did as well as they could, you know?
Well, you know, Crystal, Barbara Whaley couldn't even keep her own story straight. Well, if she did, she absolutely made conflicting statements throughout the trial. I mean, she did. She would make one statement earlier in the trial, and then in her closing arguments, it didn't even match what was said during the trial. I don't know how she got away with that.
It is unbelievable that she got away with that.
So what have been some of the reviews, Crystal, on the book? Have we got some of those?
We do. Here's one from Miscarriage of Justice that was written yesterday, March 29th. By the way, we are recording this episode on the Saturday before Easter. We'd like to wish you a very, very happy Easter. And we'll do a little more talking about Easter towards the end of this episode because something really special with Kit is going down for Easter Sunday. Here's one from Miscarriage of Justice, written on March 29th. "This was a well-written book detailing in great detail of an American military man, Kit Martin, who was betrayed by the military based on false allegations made by his bigamist ex-wife. It also details the lengths that the political powers in Kentucky will go through in convicting the same man for a triple murder in Pembroke, Kentucky, a crime he did not commit, but his ex-bigamous wife has her hands all over this as well. Why is she being protected?" Boy, I like this one. This is a great review. "I have lost all faith in our justice system." Fantastic. Thank you, Miscarriage of Justice. That was written by Natalie. This one is written by a woman by the name of Lori Showalter. Thank you, Lori. "I recently watched the Dateline episodes regarding this case and was pleasantly surprised to learn that the book is about that very case. I can't say Dateline cleared up much, but this author certainly did with his homework. This book not only clarifies the details of the case, but it also offers more detailed background. I don't believe that Kit Martin is guilty. It is unfortunate that his life has to be entirely sidelined by one evil woman. It's even worse." I know, right? "It's even worse that the military and American courtrooms offer little in the way of justice, given so much evidence to the contrary in this case. In both situations, it appears that the attorneys in both jurisdictions, as well as the judges, hold so much bias that it's impossible to obtain a fair trial. This book should be mandatory reading for investigators, attorneys, and judges. Lori Showalter." Amen.
Wow. Well, absolutely. I think they should be embarrassed when they read the book, that he was even convicted. I mean, totally embarrassed. And I often wonder what the jurors think now that they've heard the whole story, now that they've heard that Joan Harmon and her son pleaded the fifth, which the judge did not let them know, now that they've heard about the conflicting stories, and now that they've heard that the family turned over all the evidence.
And when we say the family, we're talking about the Phillips family, Cal and Pam Phillips family, not our family.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
Unbelievable. And that is a whole story and a whole podcast into itself. I do believe we covered that a lot on our last podcast.
Yes.
Proof of innocence. Joey Waldman writes on March 29th as well. Corsetti does an excellent job proving this man should be free. A must read, and then get on board to help and find a way to appeal, which, by the way, we've already done. And so we see that the corruption goes to the highest level in Kentucky because the Kentucky Supreme Court had to get involved with the appeal. That's a sad, sad part of the story. They did come off of the arson charges. So all of the, you know, made up charges for Kit in that trial, that when it came to the arson part of the story, were thrown out by the Kentucky Supreme Court, right, Stacey?
Yes, yes. And I hope that they will read the book. I mean, it just, you know, I know they have a set of rules and processes that they have to go through, so I don't mean to show disrespect, but I just think, you know, they've probably got all kinds of cases on their desk. But I just think if they dive into this, there's no way they can believe that justice was done for this man, because it wasn't. It was not carried out.
No, it wasn't. And three life sentences. I mean, that, you know, as far as throwing out the arson charges, it doesn't matter if you're not going to throw out the triple murder, you know, which is what's keeping him in prison for the rest of his life. Unbelievable. And, you know, you've been to see him, and I know that you're planning on going again soon, but how are things going there in the prison for him?
You know, everyone there is very nice, the guards, and very welcoming and will work with you and that kind of thing. He actually, this time, I think he looks much better. He's gotten a job in the chapel. He works there full time. He's going into what they refer to as the hole, and he's teaching the Bible. And, you know, he's really, really making the best of his time. And, you know, just to speak to, you know, how he is and the way he responds to things, you know, he said, you know, Stacy, if this hadn't happened, I probably would have never taken the time to learn the Bible the way I have. So in some ways, it's been a blessing.
Yeah.
So, you know, that just goes to his attitude and the way he's dealing with things. And I'm very proud of him for that.
Yeah, I just got a letter from him and he said, you know, I'm really looking forward and a little nervous about delivering the Easter message. So he is delivering the Easter message for anyone wanting to attend the Easter services in that prison, tomorrow's Easter services.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I tear up thinking about what a cool guy this is. Stephanie writes just yesterday as well, so many issues with this case. Can't believe what happened to a soldier. A book well done. The truth is well written. The truth has finally been told here, ladies and gentlemen. You do realize that with I Will Ruin You, the twisted truth behind the Kit Martin murder trial. And as we try to digest it, it takes a little bit to digest this, doesn't it? Especially, I mean, I can't even imagine, you know, because I did not know you when I read the preview of this book back about a year ago. And now that I know you so well, Stacy, reading this book, I have a whole new eye on it because I've heard all of your stories and she's told them. And by the way, Stacy's told great Joan stories. I mean, if you want to call them great Joan stories, real stories about Joan Harmon, having to deal with raising children with Joan Harmon. You know, I can't believe you lived that. We've done episodes on that. You can go back and listen to them. This isn't about bashing Joan Harmon, but you have to call the spade here. You know, Joan Harmon did have her hands all over this. And the fact that the judge allowed her to plead the fifth outside the presence of that jury is one of the most bothersome things because it was the star witness for the prosecution and the defense.
And even more so, Crystal, if there is a law that allows her to plead the fifth outside of the courtroom, for the jury not to even have that knowledge, because he instructed the attorneys, they could not tell the jurors that she had pleaded the fifth. So they didn't have all the knowledge. And, you know, in my fantasy world, you know, or my fairy tale world, you know, to me, when you're in a courtroom, you should be trying to get at the truth, not covering for people.
Right. And you
and
want
to me, that's how it felt.
Right. And what you want is 100% transparency. It's why we're so lucky in the Kit Martin case that Court TV came a calling. Anyone that has dirt on their hands here, okay, that had to be a bad day for them because.
Yes.
Because now transparency is going to be out for the world to see, not just the United States, but everyone gets to see now what you're up to. And so that,
right.
But, you know, the lack of transparency right now in the Delphi case, if I could just talk about that for a second, it's Indiana.
Sure.
It's the state of Indiana where I am right now versus Richard Allen. And on May 13th, his trial is a go. And this is zero transparency. Not only will the judge not allow any recording of any kind, no audio, no video, but zero transparency in the Delphi case. Another couple of cases I want to bring to your attention because we're going to talk about wrongful convictions here. I want to talk about the families of these people. You are a family member, Stacy, of Kit Martin, a military hero. You have three children with Kit Martin. You are one of the voice for the voiceless here in speaking on his behalf. There's nothing in this for Stacy, by the way. Nothing in this for her. There's no money coming our way. We're not even doing advertising on this podcast because we want you to hear the message. This is about keeping Kit's name in the light.
Yes, it's our belief in him. And, you know, like she said, there's nothing. I've seen the comments and, you know, people are like, well, what's in it for her? They've been divorced, you know, over 20 years. Well, he's the father of my children, true, but our children are grown. You know, I even saw one say, well, I can imagine what she has in, you know, has coming from this because there couldn't be child support. No, there's not child support. It's about truth. It's about the realization of what is really happening in our justice system, not just in Kentucky, but across the whole globe. I mean, it is appalling to me. And I had such a innocent thoughts or pretense of what happens in our justice system that's just not true. You know, I could turn on the TV at that time and I could see someone being arrested. And I believed it. I thought, well, they're being arrested. They must be guilty. And, you know, this has changed my entire life, my belief. It's grown a passion inside me for wrongfully convicted. And I'm sure there's people out there. I know we all know that there's people out there who have committed crimes and deserve to be convicted. But the sad part, Crystal, as the statistics that I've shared with you say, you know, 4 to 6 people out of 100 are wrongfully convicted. And that's, you know, that's statistically by the National Academy of Science. So 4.1% people on death row are innocent. 4.1 to 6% are wrongfully convicted. So what that means is we've got 4 to 6 people on death row. And out of that, only 2 are exonerated. So we've got 2 to 4 people that are put to death, and they are innocent.
The grand jury indictment, I've shared that out on social media, that old man's handwriting with parentheses around it, like it was just a little, here, I'm going to add my own little thing here. The death penalty is an option. I want you to really think about that, man. That scares the bejesus out of me, man.
It's very scary. And like I said, we've got 4 to 6 people on death row who are out of 100, 4 to 6 people out of every 100 that are innocent. innocent. And what do we have? I mean, in where Chris is at, I think there's over 2,000 prisoners, and there's 4 to 6 out of every 100. Put that in your thoughts for a minute.
And there's families that go along with these innocent people, just like victims' families. So Mr. and Mrs. Phillips, who passed away in this horrific murder, and Ed Donzaro, God bless him, in this incredibly horrific murder, their families found all the evidence, not the Donzaro family, but the Phillips family found really all the evidence that the prosecution ended up using. They didn't have much more on their own, you know, and it seemed made up. It seemed planted. It seemed suspicious, to the point of where Dateline comes and does a story about this. That's how suspicious it was, to the point of where Court TV needed to be a part of it. They're like, yes, we want to be a part of the Kit Martin, because there is no new evidence that Andy Beshear, the governor now of Kentucky, was the attorney general at the time. And when he made the big Kit Martin announcement in his big, gigantic press conference, because he wanted to be tough on crime 10 days before the primary election, and he just vowed he had brand new evidence. And still to this day, we don't know what that evidence was.
No, he said, I can't talk about that evidence, because the reporters continued to ask him, what is this new evidence you have? What is this new evidence? And he kept saying, well, I can't speak to that now. We've been through the trial. Chris has been, Kit, as you all know him, has been convicted for 3 life sentences. And we still to this day don't know what that new evidence is. Mm. I would suggest there wasn't any.
There wasn't any. That's exactly right.
This was on the tail skirt of an election that he was running neck and neck with his opponent.
Yep.
I'm just going to step up there and say it, Crystal. He was running neck and neck with his opponent. He used this case to help him get elected. Then he was elected to the governorship. That's exactly what happened.
And what happened, Mr. Beshear, governor, if you will, is this is the home of the brave and the land of the free. And it's because of people like Kit Martin. You chose the wrong person. You chose the wrong suspect. And people keep saying to Stacey and I, stay away from all the conspiracy. It just brings so much. But what do you want us to think 9 days before a primary? You want to be tough on crime, so you arrest an innocent man. What do you want us to think?
Exactly. And you get out there and you make this statement in front of all at this big media conference, and you say there's new evidence to arrest this man, but yet we are never, not once, presented any new evidence. All I know is that as we've been researching, I saw that 2 of the family members of Cal and Pam Phillips hired a personal injury attorney. I know that Andy Beshear won an election to the governorship on the tail end of this. I know that there is something that stinks like a rat.
Yep.
And I'm just going to say it.
Yep. And there was some, you know, there's $100,000 that was reward money that just went away. That was brought up on behalf of the Phillips family. They provided a $100,000 reward. They got billboards looking for the murderer. And all along, sat there with their eye on Kit Martin. Every time he looked at them, he was stalking them. He was just across the street, and he was, you know, installing some cameras and stuff on the porch. And, you know, if he even looked over their way, he was following them. He was stalking them. They were afraid he was going to kill them.
There was a reason that Kit was installing cameras. He had had tires slit. He had had an animal, and you know, that's another podcast, but he had had an animal, his animals to come up, you know, gone, which returned in very bad health. And I think one didn't even make it.
Sarge didn't make it. He was emaciated.
And, yeah. And so, you know, Chris was a victim in all of this.
Right.
And the big part of this, Crystal, and I know we're going down a storyline that we had not planned because we want to talk about wrongful convictions, but, you know, at the end of the day, we've got an innocent man sitting in prison, and this is not just about Kit Martin. There's lots of innocent people sitting in prison, and we've read the stories, and I know, you know, at least one of them personally, And, you know, that they're innocent. They were innocent and they finally were exonerated. But the bottom line is here, why would the family not want the people that really commit the crime prosecuted? Because Kit Martin did not do that. And I cannot find it within my realm of possibilities how anyone could have sat in that trial and not have seen that he is innocent. I do not understand it. And I will, other than we know it was chaotic. We know that there were military people on the jury whom, when you hear the word court-martial, it is a negative connotation. We know that. Or maybe they didn't like his military personality on the stand, which, you know, if someone had arrested me falsely, I would probably have a bad attitude also, and probably anyone else would.
Yeah, and he called it stupid a couple of times, you know. I mean, we've talked about this. Kit sort of has this personality that she's just so military.
It just is what it is with him. It's black or it's white. There is no gray, and he was an innocent man and could not imagine being convicted of a crime he did not commit because he continued to believe in the justice system, and they have proved him to be very incorrect.
Yeah, wrongful convictions are most certainly real. It's a hard sell when somebody's already been, put into prison for 3 life sentences, a jury's already convicted him. Now we're in a place where, you know, they're not, we haven't even had a trial here in Indiana for the Delphi case yet, but they're already looking at the corruption that could be happening. And if that corruption is happening, there has to be transparency, a court TV kind of thing. And I'm sure court TV has already asked the judge, but the judge is denying anyone, including WTHR here in Indianapolis, no one allowed to come in with any recording devices. And so that's just a lack of transparency to me. That says, yes, there's probably corruption. You don't want anybody to see it, Judge. Kathy Allen, I just want to say Kathy Allen is somebody I think about all the time. That is Richard Allen's wife. She has endured so much in Delphi. He was the pharmacist. He was the town pharmacist. He was the manager of the CVS.
Crystal, maybe you need to give us a little background, because if you're not in that area, a lot of people might not know.
Yeah, well,
what
Delphi.
You're talking about.
Yeah, I can just. Delphi. It happened 7 years ago. There's some similarities to the Kit Martin thing in that they arrested somebody many, many years later. But the problem is that the world's had their eye on it. Delphi, 2 girls. 13 years old, Abby and Libby, walking across a train trestle in Delphi, Indiana, day before Valentine's Day, back in 2017, taken off the bridge. There is a video that apparently Libby took. And so you not only see Bridge Guy, but you hear him. So we see how he walks. We see what he was wearing. We hear his voice. And we've all heard that for 7 years, you know? And then they come up with this guy that's the town pharmacist. He's in jail. Kathy's his wife. Pretty sure she's like a school teacher or something. She's also an upstanding American citizen, right? These two are now fighting this battle. And there's so much more to the Delphi thing. It was how the bodies were left. And I'm not going to get into like a real, I'm not going to go really into the case here, but it was a sacrifice. And so if it was a sacrifice, it's going to take more than one person to do it. They're not using complicity. There's all kinds of things wrong. There's so much wrong with it. There were runes left on top. He doesn't have any kind of Odinistic background. It looks like an Odinistic sacrifice. It's all of that. So that means, why is it all being covered up? Why are they losing evidence? They've lost all the evidence of all those people who were interviewed by the police. So you can't just go losing evidence and the judge is just like, okay, well, we've lost that. So much for the old DVR. We recorded over it. Now what can we do? We're going to move on. And this guy's going to jail for the rest of his life because he did it. So everything's for the prosecution. And we all know the story, don't we? Another wrongful conviction that I wanted to bring up to you, Stacey, is out of Kenosha, Wisconsin. His name is Zachariah Anderson. Now, he's accused of killing someone that he's never met. He's never met this person in his life. Oh, and they have their own version of Joan in that story. It's worth catching up on. It's out of the state of Wisconsin. And again, they have their own Joan version character in the Zachariah Anderson story. And if you've ever watched, you know how Kit didn't get a chance, to speak at the sentencing. Well, this guy did, and it became a viral video, and it's just absolutely incredible. He did not commit this murder. He had never met this person. And Zachariah Anderson's family, they know about wrongful convictions. That's the family I worry about, because they're doing the same thing we're doing. Also, Ohio versus Mackenzie Schirilla. This is another situation where she's in the car. She's an 18-year-old girl in the car in Ohio. She has her boyfriend with her and her boyfriend's friend. And she's in a Toyota Corolla, I believe. She's in one of the Toyotas that's having brake issues, all right? So, So she hits a wall going at a high speed. She doesn't know what happened because she was also hurt in the accident. She doesn't remember anything about it. And they convicted her of involuntary manslaughter. It may have been actual murder. But Mackenzie Schirilla, at the age of 18, is in prison for the rest of her life. And her family trying to fight what they say is a wrongful conviction as well. So there's just a couple there that come to mind. That these are families just like the Martin family and just like your family, Stacey, going through it right now. And I do think of the families of victims, but you are victims too when it comes to wrongful convictions. You guys are the victims here, the families.
Well, you know, Crystal, it's, you know, what I would like our listeners to think about is this can happen to anybody. It could be your son, your father, your daughter, your granddaughter, anyone you're close to, this could happen to. And people need to be aware that these wrongful convictions actually exist. You know, like I said, this has changed my whole life. I used to believe in the death penalty. I no longer believe in it because, you know, one person wrongfully put to death is one too many. And this can happen to you. And I have someone I didn't know before the Kit Martin case, but I did talk to him, and he's a very dear friend, and his name's Adam Brazil, and he's in the county next to where I live, and he was put into prison for murder, and he spent 12 years in prison of his life, and turns out that it was mistaken identity. And it was he's redheaded, and another redheaded guy actually committed the crime.
Unbelievable.
His sister fought and fought and fought and fought. And finally, she got lawyers to take the case, and they proved this. And after 12 years, he's out. He's working now with Kathleen Zellner on some things, and he just sued the state of Tennessee and got $1 million. And that's another thing. If wrongful convictions did not happen, then why would some states have rulings that they do not compensate, Kentucky being one of them, they do not compensate wrongfully convicted victims if they're exonerated?
Unbelievable, man. Yeah. Of course, the state of Kentucky falls into that category. Of course they do.
Right. And so if they did not know that this happens sometimes, why would they address that? Most states will award, I think it's $50,000 per year that they are incarcerated. And, you know, Kentucky, and I think there's seven, if I'm not mistaken, states, seven out of our United States, seven of them do not compensate wrongfully convicted victims. And Kentucky's one of them.
That's truly horrifying. It is. It's horrifying.
Yeah, it is. And then we know about the Norman Graham case, where I believe Kip, the Kentucky Innocence Project, took that. He was taken to trial three times before he was actually convicted. The Innocence Project stepped in. They proved his innocence. And then Norman Graham filed a civil lawsuit against the Kentucky State Police and several specific members of that.
One being Scott Smith, who is part of our case. Yeah.
Yes. Scott Smith, one of our detectives in the Kit Martin case. They're suing them for their estates. However, Norman Graham was only out a few years before he passed away. So, you know, he's not going to get to see the justice for that, but they are continuing to prosecute anyway.
Oh, absolutely. On behalf of his estate, he has a family too. Again, your family, Norman Graham's family, these people are victims and they deserve every penny they can get from a state that does this to them. It is horrifying that it's possible, number one, in the land of the free and the home of the brave. I don't think so.
Yes.
It just can't be anymore. And I don't, you know, we organized and went over to the sentencing for Kit Martin. And there's a part of me that wants to organize and go stand out in front of, you know, some of the Indiana places where all this Delphi stuff is going on. Now, one thing that we did do, that we managed to do, is put the judge in a really bad mood that day. And that didn't hurt our feelings at all. But on sentencing day for Kit Martin, we made some noise. We had people honking. All of our signs said honk for Kit, you know. And there were actually, because we were live on Facebook, so there were actually truckers getting off the highway and coming down there to the courthouse and going by and blowing their horns.
Do you think that had anything to do with the retaliation of the judge where he wouldn't allow Kit to speak?
Well, they wouldn't allow the prosecution's people to speak either. They're the ones who asked.
So he just wanted out of there that day.
He wanted out of there that day. He wouldn't allow the Phillips family to come on. He didn't want that, and he certainly didn't want Kit talking. Kit was ready to speak. He walked in with yellow paper that was full of writing front and back, and he had it folded. And I noticed he set it down, and he put his glasses down on top of it. And, you know, I was watching him really closely, but Kit was ready to speak. And then you and I gave him an opportunity to actually say to the world what he would have said, which is great. He did that on like episode number 4, I think it was, here on the Free Kit Martin podcast. But do listen to what Kit has to say. You know, he is an Army Ranger. He is such an intelligent guy, and no one more invested in his case than him when he's allowed to. That's the other thing. He wasn't allowed to really participate in his case, right, Stacey?
Right, exactly. A $3 million bond, and that wasn't 10% of $3 million. It was $3 million. So there was no way. I don't even know if that's constitutionally correct, but there was no way he could get out and work on his own case. No. And I think that was by design.
That bond hearing just set me off. I don't know what Prather had to do with this. A guy named Jeffrey Prather, who just decided he'd be speaking on behalf of the state instead of Barbara Whaley. Because, you know, she's not really that good of a, I mean, we all know Barbara Whaley isn't that good of a speaker. She's not very engaging, but he sure was. And man, he was just making stuff up left and right to make sure that bond was taken care of. And the judge was just going right along with him. Everything that Prather said, the judge just absolutely, you know. And we were losing everything. We were losing every objection over there. I mean, you could see it on Tom's face. Tom Griffiths, our attorney, sat there with a befuddled look on his face like, I am not going to be able to get anywhere here.
Right. Right. I think even at one point he said to Scott Smith, well, it doesn't seem that I have anything else I can ask you today.
Today.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm done.
Yeah.
And not I'm done, sir. Not I'm done, Lieutenant. Not like I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. There was just, he was, you know, he got Scott Smith got a nice little elevation in his job there to Lieutenant. And I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with the Norman Graham case and whether or not his entire estate will be taken. I am all ears, all eyes. I know he has the greatest attorneys he could possibly have on that case, Lovey and Lovey out of Chicago. So we just wait and wait and wait until that is We'll see that in the news. I have all of those Google updates coming to my emails, by the way. So all of those people's names come to me as soon as there's any news out there. So we'll certainly let you know when we know.
Well, you know, Crystal, if we can say anything to our listeners that may be beneficial, be careful who you meet on the internet.
Oh, boy.
Be careful who you date, because these things that we speak of, they are very, very real. Very real.
There's someone
I mean, Kit thought he was married to her for 8 years, and come to find out, she was married to someone else.
There's so many things that line up to her being involved in this situation. And I don't know.
She's involved, no doubt.
She's involved in some way, shape, or form. I'm not saying she pulled a trigger. I'm saying somebody did, and Joni knows. And here's the other thing I want to say before we get out of here today. I would like very much, from my heart and soul, to speak to Joni's children right now. Because if Joni's children would just come forward and say, this whole thing was a mess, and this man doesn't deserve it, he gave us some of the greatest years of our lives, that changes everything, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be new evidence? Wouldn't that be new evidence for a new trial kind of thing?
I think they absolutely, he gave them the absolute best life they had ever had. But, you know, that puts them in a peculiar situation, because no matter who or what she is, she's their mother.
Right.
You know, and so it's difficult, but you know, that would be great if they would come forward. I mean, I feel like they must know something.
And especially one of them.
Yes.
But you know, we have to keep our eye on all the victims here. And the victims aren't just the Phillips family, okay? The Phillips family did lose their parents, and the Donzaro family lost a really good guy, jazz piano player with a smile on his face at all times. You better believe we know.
My gut feeling is that Pam Phillips was a very nice woman as well. That is, you know, that's my gut feeling. I never met her, but I feel like she probably was a very good woman who was deceived.
Absolutely. And, you know, deceived by the woman across the street who called her like a second mother. The woman across the street had her babysitting a lot while she was, you know, at the warehouse with Cal, those kinds of things, where police officers were walking in on him in the act. Things, you know, that's not alleged. These things happened. And none of that was allowed in the trial, of course. It was so unfair. The whole thing was just so incredibly unfair. And if you want to really dig into it, go get the book, I Will Ruin You, The Twisted Truth Behind the Kit Martin Murder Trial. I am invested. I'm on chapter 10 right now. One of my favorites was International Spy. I think that's chapter 7. International Spy. Her lies, Joni's lies, got to the point of where she said when they went on a Baltic cruise. So yeah, he took her and her children. They were in Europe. On Baltic cruises, they're going to places like Estonia and Russia and Eastern Europe, like a lifelong dream of my guy and me, right? This is a lifelong dream kind of a thing. And we travel a lot. Like, that is a bucket list one that they did. And she made that into the fact that he was an international spy. He would disappear for 20 minutes in every place they stopped in port, and no one would know where he was. You know, I mean, that's all part of the book. And I just...
Well, and you know, Crystal, and I think I shared this with you not long ago, but she was not that good of a liar, because she got her own dates messed up. And she said he had visited the Ukraine in 1998, in July of 1998. Well, no, I was still married to him, and we were having our third child at that time.
And he was
so
right there with you.
Wasn't,
yeah. Yeah,
he wasn't in the Ukraine, that's for sure.
He was helping Stacy push out puppies. You know, it's like, you can't, yeah. And by the way, Kit had an alibi for their made-up timeline. They didn't know when these people died. They had no idea when the victims died in this case. Mm-hmm. And poor Kit, man, he's just sitting there across the street because his wife had gone all over town letting everybody know what a sick individual he was because he wanted a divorce from her.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, it just goes on and on. So please, please, listeners, be aware that, and if you're not aware, research it. Get into some of these cases and watch them. It is unbelievable. And this is not to make you scared every day or, you know, we just know this happens. And like I said, it's changed my life as it's changed so many. And the Martins, they're good people. They're a good family. And, you know, this is speaking from someone who's not married to their son anymore, but I know that they're good people. You know, we just had different goals. That's just the way it was. And we were young and we made mistakes.
Yeah.
And that's just how it is. But, you know, I shared with Kit recently because now that he's been teaching and preaching the Bible, and I saw someone make a remark that doesn't make him innocent. No, that in fact does not make him innocent, but that he is absolutely innocent and there's no evidence that shows otherwise. But, you know, I shared with him, and I'm not trying to refer to him as a saint. No one is a saint. But I shared with him in the Bible about King Herod imprisoned people for teaching about Christ, about Jesus Christ. And Peter was in prison teaching about Jesus. King Herod had Peter put in prison for teaching about Jesus. And the night before he was to be executed, an angel appeared to him and he thought he was having a vision. But she said, "Put on your sandals and follow me." And they walked past two guards. The doors opened. His chains were released from his arms and he walked out.
Amen.
And I told Chris, I said, if God could perform those miracles then, if Jesus could perform those miracles, don't ever lose the faith. Because I believe there's a reason for everything and something good comes from everything. And we're not going to give up.
No.
We have to keep that faith and we have to keep, he says, faith the size of a mustard seed. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to see and we want to say why. But, you know, at this point, that's what gets us through each day,
right.
Each and every day.
That is exactly right. Oh my God, I'm so proud of you.
Don't be proud of me. I mean, it's Kit, it's his family, it's his aging mother and father, it's his sisters. You know, I just can't imagine each day what they go through.
But I'm watching you over here really help hold all of them up, all of them, including Kit, including your children who are, you know, his children. And there are times that Stacy has to hold me up because I'm a person that doesn't know these people. I know Stacy really well, but I don't know really any of these people. I've met them once, you know, and I've never met Kit Martin. And this is my duty as an American citizen. It's why I'm giving my time and effort here. Because his name has to stay in the light, Stacy.
And we appreciate that, Crystal. And not just, you know, you have been such a vital part of this Kit Martin movement, but there are so many thousands of people out there that have never met Kit Martin, have never met any of us, and we have bonded such a close friendship because of this cause. And, you know, they are out, you know, trying to get him free. Because they believe in him.
Right.
And we are going to have the biggest celebration, a parade of sorts, when he is freed. Because we know he's innocent.
Yeah, keep your eye on the ball, too. That's what I always say. Keep your eye on that day, you know, when we get to all meet at the gate. And it'll be heavenly, won't it? And I'm not talking about heaven.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm talking about meeting at the gate at the prison and watching him walk out. It's a moment we're all waiting for. It's a moment we'll all fly in for from different places around the world. And a moment that needs to happen in our country and happen fast before we all
Yes.
give up on the justice system. This is only the beginning. Like, we are just now starting to call out the justice system, places like Delphi. You know, had we had that going into the Kit Martin trial, people from all over the world covering the case and talking about the corruption side of it. Can you imagine how much further we would have gotten, you know?
Yes.
You know what
yes,
they've done
absolutely.
In the Delphi case? They've actually had to do a crowdfunding effort because the judge will not give the defense any money to perform this case. And because so many people believe in the man's innocence that they've had to do crowdfunding. They've already got over $20,000 in crowdfunding.
Isn't that unconstitutional?
It would seem that it is, but they got around it. I mean, the defense had to do something because they need defense experts, you know, in this. They need, especially because if there's an Odinistic value of any kind in this case, and it appears there is, you've got to get professors from, you know,
that's the area
of Purdue University. So preferably a local professor so you don't have to pay for their travel, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm guessing that they got around, I don't know this, but I'm guessing they got around that in the Constitution, because if he's a pharmacist, his income was probably too high to get free representation.
Yeah, well, whatever. Yeah, I don't know how that happened, where these guys, he needed representation from the state, that he got the two guys that were going to get him, they believed in his innocence. And then things started happening in the world of media, and it started with podcasters. It started, YouTubers. There's all kinds of other things that happened that outed what's going on here. And the judge is all kinds of ticked off about it.
Well, just ask Ken and his family. When you start trying to hire lawyers and you're falsely accused of something, it doesn't take a long time for your money to run out.
Right.
And we're supposed to have, you know, people that are, you know, everyone's supposed to have representation. That is my understanding of our Constitution.
And then the two guys that were hired, she tried to fire them. They quit, then they wanted to come back because they couldn't get anywhere with her. She's like, no, you're not coming back. They took it to the Indiana Supreme Court. The Indiana Supreme Court said, you've got to take him back. He deserves
it. Who were these, the lawyers?
Yes, these are the defense lawyers. Yeah, so the defense lawyers are now reinstated by the Indiana Supreme Court. This is not over till it's over.
And make that's insane. I mean, how can a judge say they can't have certain lawyers?
Right.
Wow.
Well, the Supreme Court saw it that way, too. He got his lawyers back and they're doing their job. I mean, these guys are seriously doing their job. As he said to all the journalists, Baldwin, which is one of the is Baldwin and Rosie. But Mr. Baldwin comes right out of one of the first hearings and looks right at all the journalists and says, it's time for you people to start really doing your job here. The world is watching, he told them. The world is watching. And so,
wow.
So can you imagine? It just gives me chills. If that would have happened prior to the Kip Martin case, if his defense attorneys, you know, they were already having problems getting the discovery. All the stuff that I see going on, we're still having problems getting the discovery, you know, from the state of Kentucky. So, hey, let's leave it right here and just wish everybody a happy Easter. I want to thank you so much. I'm so grateful for you. And you know, Easter is a time of change for me because on Good Friday, you go to church and it's almost like going to a funeral, especially in the Catholic world. The altar's empty. It's very depressing. And I've been a reader in the Catholic world for a long time, a rector, they call it, where I go up and read The Passion of Christ. And this is the weekend for me. It's more so than Christmas that I really see the beauty of being a Christian. You know, things can change for you. There is such thing as resurrection. And tomorrow, flowers are all over the altar, you know. And I've always seen it that way. I've always thought Good Friday is sort of that funeral, really depressing. They're beating Jesus on the way to the cross. And then you get there and you realize the flowers are everywhere and he is risen. And that to me, and I don't want to get into a real religious thing here, but that to me, I know that's what Kip believes. I cannot wait. I told him when he wrote me this last letter, he said he was really nervous about giving the Easter sermon. And I said, I just can't wait for the day that it's going to be on the outside. I see you becoming a beautiful pastor in our future, you know, and I just can't wait for the day that I'm flying in to see an Easter sermon from Kit Morton. So let's leave it right there on that good, positive note, shall we?
Yes, and thank you to all the listeners. We want to wish you a very happy Easter. And please remember what the season is about.
Yeah, have faith with us, won't you please? Pray with us. And we thank you so much for listening to the Free Kit Morton podcast. I'm Crystal McKenzie.
And I'm Stacey Stone. Thank you, and God bless each and every one of you.